Second Chronicles chapter 29 is where we're going to start. Well, it's both, it's recorded in both Kings and in Chronicles, but it's a better rendition of it in Chronicles. No, 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 no,
no.
Why we prepare for Passover, how we prepare for Passover, all right? We forget about it, so let's go back to, has everybody got a Bible that wants one? Or that can use one?
Or can read one.
That's what they, I already said that.
Excuse me, it's like an echo. Corrections.
Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now we're going to read through this, but let the Spirit open its similarity to us. Remember that the book of the law and the understanding of the feast and all of that had been lost for a huge amount of time in Hezekiah's time, and they found it and read it and reinstituted it. I believe that's similar to what we've done in many ways. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. As that's basically, I pray, what we've been doing. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have put up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. Now remember, all this time they were still naming the name of God in their activities, in their governments, in their families, in their children. They had a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. Understand? Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and Joel, the son of Azariah, the sons of the Kohathites, and the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, Azariah, the sons of Jehalel, and Gershonites, Joah, and the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah, and the sons, all those guys, I'm tired of that. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. I knew that Levites were sanitation engineers. Oh, I knew it. I knew that that's what they did.
Where did they do this? In a pool?
No, in the temple.
Like a lake pool.
This is the temple.
In the temple in the big...
The temple. This is the...
big tub in the temple.
And they gathered themselves... And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord God." Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests and the sons of Aaron to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Now remember, I mean, if I'm wrong about this, we're in deep trouble anyway, so you might as well accept it, that I believe with everything in me, and I believe the Bible testifies it, that the Old Testament is a metaphor for the process that's going on in this, our temples. And this is the visible activity for what's going on in our subconscious minds. You understand? That's what this is about. So they killed the bullocks, and the priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar, and they killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. Each one of those is a different picture of Jesus Christ and his work. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation. They laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instrument of David, and priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and the burnt offering began. The song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren the Levites did help them, till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. God, I wish I hadn't read that.
Terry, Terry.
Your
knowledge
is in the book.
Terry.
He's using wisdom without rising up in pride.
Can you see, I mean, even while he's doing this in the spirit, can you see what he's doing? He's running around paying kids to sing him happy birthday, even while he's sitting there. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. By God in heaven, that's what I've tried to do, by our understanding. I don't believe that the book of Leviticus, the book of Exodus, the book of Genesis are there and part of this book and have been part of Torah for all these years and centuries by an accident. I believe they're for us. And I believe they are the basis upon which we set in order the picture of the fullness of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we've tried to do all these years. We haven't done a very good job of it, but we're moving towards that direction. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Remember, that's the first feast that we tried to do. Slowly but surely, the whole of everything we do with those feasts has evolved and all the mistakes that we made. But it's been a constant, continual movement to set in order. We don't see it yet, but really what it's set is to set in order towards the movement of the Ark of the Covenant so that we can, by our understanding, open those seven seals on the Ark. To keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel, for the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Remember why in the second month? Because they couldn't keep it in the first month. For they could... For they could not keep it at the second at that time because the priest had not sanctified... priests had not sanctified themselves.
Sufficiently.
Levites up here were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves. He doesn't even know I'm looking at him. His glasses. His.
I think you're looking at me.
Excuse me, are you talking about?
Neither had the people gathered themselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation, so they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into this, his sanctuary, wherein which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord your brethren, and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, and they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And also in Judah the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Now, Let's go to, let's just keep your hand there a minute. No, wait a minute. Let's go back to 2 Kings a minute. Let's see what we see about Hezekiah. Now let's see what this is. We're going to see what. Remember the two guys that done the Passover rite, Josiah and Hezekiah. Well, let's go look at Josiah a minute and see what he did. Okay, in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years. Well, let's finish. Go back. We're going to read. We'll finish what he said in Hezekiah. I mean, in 2 Chronicles, and then we'll go do Josiah. So go back to 2 Chronicles 30 for a minute. In verse 15, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover, otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, and Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people.
It's interesting, he's healed.
And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto the Levites, and taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. They just kept on partying. Okay, that was in 710 BC. Now let's go and see what happened with Josiah. This was in 640 BC, right? So this was Hezekiah, and then, wait, now we're moving up in time. What, 120 years? To...
No.
No, we're not.
We're moving forward in time. It's not too distant. There's only Manasseh.
From 710 BC to 640 BC is 70 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, 2 Kings 22. Everybody there?
Was it 2 Kings?
2 Kings chapter 22. There's a Pam. Now we're going to, I'm just going to read part of it, and then we're going to skip here and get down to the meat. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name and his all that. And then go down to verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest sent unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book that of the law that he rent his clothes. Okay? So there is a great time period since Josiah. Remember, Josiah The first thing that happened after, I mean, since Hezekiah, the first thing that happened ever after Hezekiah's Passover, denigration started right away, right? Now we're 70 years later, and we're into great denigration. The law hadn't been studied. They'd even forgotten that there was a book of the law. Yeah. Sound familiar? Then he said in verse 13, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and all these guys, they communed with her, with this woman,
Huldah,
the prophetess. Did we include Huldah on our list?
In fact, when I read it, I thought
was Huldah. Huldah. Prophetess?
Yeah. Because that sounds like
Swedish would be
that
Hilda.
Sounds like a Norwegian name.
Huldah.
What?
I said Swedish would be Hilda, Norwegian would be Hilda.
Like Huldah the Red.
Yeah.
Huldah the Horrible.
Do you want me to read this stuff about priests not being sanctified? And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and as rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king the word again. And the king sent and deliver it. You know, do you realize that we haven't studied this for like 5 years? This is good. I'm glad we're doing this.
And he's talking here about, he says, it's because they burned incense to other gods. And in the one we read a little while ago, it says they took the incense, all the individual incense altars, and broke them and threw them into the brook.
Amen.
Because each house had an incense.
Each little one, each man had his own censer. And the king sent, and do you notice how the Levites are more righteous than the priests in terms of, did you notice that?
I noticed that.
It's in the book.
They're good.
Huh?
They're good.
These are good times for the Levites, but they're far few between.
What I like is the fact that the priests and the Levites here represent kind of what the whole church is in different aspects. That's what I like.
Well, smell me. Aren't we spiritual?
Speaking comfortably. I like that part about when Levi's 50 years old, he gets to retire.
And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. You get to retire the same way I did at 50.
It's just as Levi does say.
And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. We had a great one here today at lunch.
Great, large.
She was 5 foot two tall and 5 foot six wide.
I knew if I waited long enough. I knew it.
What?
I just knew that I didn't have to say anything. I was going to, and I thought,
she was,
I don't have to say it.
She was, she had.
Are you speaking about one of our guests?
Yes. She had watched, when I was on television in 1972, she was 12 years old.
What?
Picture of niceness here.
Aren't you glad we went for the more expensive of the plastic chairs rather than the cheap ones?
That's a good point. Anyway, she saw the Channel 4 thing, and so she called. She wrote a letter. And I called her, and because, I mean, she said that, you know, I had warped her mind 12 years ago.
What did she see you on?
The Channel 4.
Oh,
I was on a nightly talk show. I hosted a talk show every night. Yeah.
The all-night movies.
No. And her mind is still warped. Where are we? Both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of the Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through fire to Molech. You know, it's really neat. I mean, I hadn't read this for a long, long time, but it's really neat that we have gone through each of these processes. That's pretty wild. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, for the Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high place, he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it to small powder, and burned the grove. And Josiah turned himself, and as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent, and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said unto him, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. and all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away, and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. And surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Now, we forget that sometimes, that the Passover takes that kind of preparation. Now, some of you haven't been here to know what all of those metaphors of the grove and the high places mean, but I promise you, you will find out.
I've got a question. The Brook of Kidron.
That's the Valley of Hinnom, where the Brook Kidron is. It's the east gate outside of the temple in Jerusalem. And it's in the New Testament, it's called Gehinnom, or Hell. It's the Valley of Hinnom.
Mm-hmm. It's like Oak Cliff.
Huh?
It's like Oak Cliff.
So literally, well,
like a dump.
That's the dump.
Yeah.
Like the transfer city.
The transfer city.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Now, so the beginning of the celebration of Purim is the beginning in my mind of this process. Each year, for the past 5-6 years, we have concentrated on one aspect of that high place activity because there was just too much in us. I thought that this year that it was going to be on the jewels because that's one of the few that's left. But what it's become clear to me is that the biggest problem that we have as a body is the leaven of Herod. And for that, we need to go to Mark 8. You sound just like your daughter.
That's because we're related.
We share.
Verse 14. Well, let's go up to 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven and tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship, departed again to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now remember, there were on the lake of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, is that the same thing? Anyway, it's we're not talking about a little lake. I mean, we're talking about a lake that's like a sea, and it takes hours and hours and hours to cross it.
Which lake is this?
It's above Lake Galilee.
It's this one right there.
This one?
Yeah.
Sea of Galilee.
Now, and he charged, the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now why? The leaven could only be revealed when there was the appearance of need by the senses. You understand? They, in their minds, had forgotten to make preparations for this trip. They had no bread, no fish. The fact that they forgot was by the Holy Spirit, so that they could see this. You understand? It wasn't something that, oh shit, I forgot. Which they probably said, by the way. That's what he rebuked them for. Right. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees was what? They were making believe they weren't worried. They were making believe there wasn't a need in their senses. And the leaven of Herod was what? That they thought they had the need. Can you get that as a picture for a minute? All right, let's see what happens. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not? Having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Now, what we've been, during the course of the first fruit activity, the first fruit offering, what came up, as most some of you know, over and over again, was this thing, this condition that most of the people whose families had wealth were guilty of. And namely, that they had been making the body of Christ into a charity in the minds of their families, and making people feel sorry for me or for Harry because we make $80 a week, or because, you know, there, you know, it was the idea that it was this process of making in the mind, their minds, and then in the minds of the people in their world, that the body of Christ was a charity. Well, Rick was outside the camp for 4 days of what he said was pure hell. Beth and Louie are still outside. Well, they're not declared outside, but in their minds they are. Ed has been out because of this thing of seeing that the body of Christ is a charity. You understand that the body of Christ needs nothing. Now, it's easy to see the leaven of Herod in this. You understand? If you portray the body of Christ as needy, then what you are doing is you're portraying the body of Christ as full of the leaven of Herod. It's easy to see in the area of financial and material things. But also, it must be seen in the area of emotional things, intellectual things, all of the aspects of your personality. If you think you need anything, you are portraying the body of Christ as a charity. And you are then filled with the leaven of Herod, seeing lack. Now God says clearly, If you think you need something, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. That's what the word says. Whatsoever you say is accomplished. Paul says, say it 3 times and forget about it. Say it 3 times, pray for it 3 times. If it's not manifested, then it's not a need. But by God in heaven, don't grovel in the name of God. I want us to concentrate on, and I pray you see what I'm talking about, that in your people, in every arena of their life, that they see that their body of Christ is not a charity, that they have no need. Again, and it's subtle things that have to be addressed. It's Harry walking around constantly begging for praise and manipulating activity so he gets the other people to come in and say, oh, you did a good job. It's on and on and on and on that is so rampant in this body that we must excise it between now and Passover. We need nothing. Do you understand? And that, you understand that if we portray us as being needy, then what we are doing to the world is we are portraying the bride of Christ, we are considering her lightly. Remember what the first words in Genesis, when after Abraham was called, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that consider you lightly. Remember the words? Erar and Quelel. Erar, bitterly execrate those that consider you lightly. There's no greater way that we, with knowledge, can consider the seed and bride of the seed of God and the bride of Christ lightly, other than there's no way that we can consider it more lightly than to consider it a charity. In any arena of your life. You understand what I'm talking about? We must be about them who can say with certainty, it is finished. We, if we believe there is a need and we walk around and say it is finished, then we are hypocrites and liars. It can't be finished if there's a need. It's finished. Then what happens about this apparent thing? What happens about this? It's the chastisement of God, and it's not a need. It's totally different. You understand me? I beg of you, go over in great detail lists where your people see lack, and you identify it. Whether it's intellectual, spiritual, emotional, in any area of fiscal or financial, if there's any area where they're seeing any lack, it's the manifestation of the leaven of Herod. It's the manifestation of taking the body of Christ lightly. We need to start on this right away because it's so rampant. Is there anybody that doesn't understand clearly, or anybody has anything to add to the story?
I do. This last week, this is a weird way to see something, but in the last week or so, I've been having this ongoing aches and pains and weird stuff since Maryland was born, and I haven't been able to figure out what it was. And what I tried to do for it was to put stuff in, you know, like put more vitamins, put more minerals, and eat this and eat that. Well, in the last week, I was reading something, and it dawned on me that it wasn't what was going in, but what wasn't going out. And it was like just if you put more in than goes out, then your body can't deal with the toxins, and you get all these weird symptoms. And so through, you know, herbs and fiber and different things, I started getting everything moving, and it's like 90% of my symptoms have gone away.
Fantastic.
And the idea of it's not something you need to put in, but it's what needs to go out. And it really doesn't make too much difference what you put in, as long as everything's going out.
Well, I was thinking too that, you know, the idea is that we pour out for the world, and if we're a charity in need, it's just the opposite of how people should view it. If we're pouring out rather than taking in.
I was on the phone session with a guy who, it's the third time he's called. to talk about the things he's going to do, he wants to do to help us. And the first few times it's felt really weird, and today it got even weirder. And he was talking about, he goes to one of these big mega churches, and he was talking about how he wanted to have his pastor get in touch with Ole and get them together and get the church to support us and give us money because of the things we do for the homeless and all this stuff. And I just told him, I just really told him about trying to hire us as professionals to take care of their mess. What would be interesting, and then would be an opportunity to speak to the members of the church and wake them up and give them the opportunity to do this. I mean, this stuff just came tumbling out of me. It was so odious that this guy was talking about what he was going to do for us. And I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a couple of days ago, my response to that historically would have been, oh, here's a chance to get something. To be nice and stuff, to get whatever we might be able to get from him.
Anybody else?
That's the bottom line. Grew up with Tilton Church, really. Is that they set themselves up vis-a-vis the world as a taker, and that's why they're offensive.
Well, but please, do you all agree that this is the time that we concentrate on the lack,
yeah,
and the seeing of lack? It can transform us into a body of people that truly reflects the humility of the Lord. Now, the humility of the Lord, as we've talked about, isn't what the world thinks of as humility. The humility of the Lord is the Lion of Judah walking through a sheep, a herd of sheep, and not biting their heads off. The humility of the Lord is a tiger walking through a mall and not... The humility of the Lord is subdued strength. Do you understand me? It's not this mealy-mouthed bullshit that the world thinks is humility. What they do is they mistake, not sodomize so much, but they mistake... What's the groupies? What's the word for these idiots? Sycophants for humility. Now, the word meek, as we remember, this is a technical term in classical Greek. The word meek in the New Testament is that one of those big war horses that's perfectly trained and harnessed with a child sitting on it. So, I mean, we, in order to reflect the meekness of God and the humility of God, we must be a no charity. We must be a people that knows who we are. And that's this Passover. That's what I don't know how to say it yet, but that's the theme or the feeling of this Passover. Is the humility and meekness of God. And that knowledge of that position and that emptying as you go, of emptying of that purpose, emptying of what everybody else would call strength, will produce the joy and the freedom that are the true themes of Passover. But as long as you're walking around thinking you need something, you're never going to hear, you're never going to see the mystery. And people, when they talk to you and you talk to them about it being finished, they won't know what's wrong, but they will sense it. There is no power in your words. Now, again, this is a big risk because it's going to take some ties being cut, some honesty towards especially those of you that have families that have some substance. It's easier if you've come from, if you've come from a family that has... That's upper or middle class, this is a biggie, because you've portrayed, all of you have, you've portrayed us as a charity. And you've got to talk to your parents and let them know who and what we are. And the people in your groups have to talk to their parents and to their surroundings and let them know who and what we are. That's the only way a discipling can be made. There can be no discipleship or no revelation of truth if the people around you think it's a charity. That's ridiculous. Now, let's start this at Purim. Let's start this. This is an attitude. Let's cop-a-tude, as they, somebody said. It's a, it's an attitude of who we are. If you have to say it, you're not. Make everybody in the universe believe you know the Chinese shit, even if you don't. No, I mean, just be. That's, it's the matter. I mean, I don't want to give you another thing to try to be. Just be it. Now, let this start at Purim. And let this, the fun of it, and the, and it, I mean, this is the, this is what really, this is what the core of your being wants. I promise you. Okay, that's it. Take a big guy. Anybody have anything else?